Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. And the Bible reads in Revelation 14, verse 9, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." Now, how could the Bible be any more clear here that if you receive the mark of the beast in the end times, you know, when the Antichrist is giving out the mark of the beast, that if someone receives the mark of the beast, they can never be saved? And again, this is not talking about saved people. No saved person could or would receive the mark of the beast. No saved person would be a corrupter of God's word, removing things, adding things. Every saved person is indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. And there are certain limitations and certain boundaries, and that's one of them, okay? They're not going to believe in the Antichrist, because what does the Bible say about the Antichrist? It says that he'll be so slick that if it were possible, he would deceive the very elect. You know what that means? It's not possible. If it were possible, he would deceive the elect. He's that good. But it's not possible. And again, people ask this what-if scenario. Well, what if, you know, someone, you know, marries a wife and then she marries all seven of his brothers. You know, people always have these goofy what-if crazy scenarios. It's like, well, what if somebody is saved and they do worship the Antichrist? Because here's the thing. You don't just, when the mark of the beast rolls around, you don't just go to the post office and fill something out and just, or do it online. Folks, according to the Bible, to receive the mark of the beast, you have to worship the Antichrist. You must worship the Antichrist. Those two things go together. Everybody who receives this mark, they also worship the Antichrist. So people say, well, what if they did? Well, we know two things. We know, number one, that you can't lose your salvation. We've got 100 Bible verses on that, very clear. And then on the other hand, we know anybody who receives the mark of the beast is going straight to hell in a handbasket, according to this scripture. So the way that both of those two things can be true is to understand that people who are actually saved are incapable of receiving the mark of the beast. Does everybody understand that? That's how both of those things can be true. Look, you either believe the whole Bible or you don't. And if you believe the whole Bible, both of those things have to be true. And the way that they can both be true is if no saved person can take the mark of the beast, because then you won't have this quandary of, you know, well, you know, they're saved, but they took the mark of the beast. But here's the thing. We have false prophets out there now teaching that someone could take the mark of the beast and then get saved later. John MacArthur, Kent Hovind, I believe Sam Gipp. I know that chipmunk guy, Robert Breaker, teaches it for sure. He said that if they you could cut off your hand or behead yourself. Okay, it's like, what? It's crazy. That's what he said. Okay, but here's the thing. You say, well, how can a saved person not receive it? Because what if a saved person is just so backslidden and they just get really desperate and they're just like, that's it, I'm getting the mark of the beast. Well, here's the thing. It would be very easy for there to be a technology in place where they'll know if you really mean it when you worship the beast. Because stop and think about this. And folks, I'm not trying to get all crazy and sci-fi right now. But folks, it's no longer fiction, it's reality. Okay. And I'm not talking about a polygraph, which goes back to what, the 1960s? Okay, so they already have lie detectors that are highly sophisticated, but obviously there are a lot of people who can beat the polygraph, and it's not that high tech, like I said, because it's been around for many, many decades. It's an old technology. Folks, now they're getting into technology where they can read your mind. And it's already here. And it's going to be more so in the future. Obviously, as the years go by, this technology is going to get better and better and better. So just, and again, this is just my speculation. Okay, so don't say that I'm just teaching this as some kind of a dogma. But here's my speculation on this, is that let's say during the tribulation, somebody got desperate and said, you know what, I'm just going to go down and just worship the stupid Antichrist because I don't want to lose my job or I don't want to lose my position or whatever. Let's say you go down there, right? And in order to receive this thing, you obviously have to go through some kind of a ritual or some kind of a process, because the Bible says that they worship the beast. They have to worship him and receive this mark. And once you can't buy or sell unless you receive the mark of the beast. Okay. Well, here's the thing. What if you went down there and you do that and there's just some kind of a technology in place that just triggers if you're faking? If you're a faker, it triggers. And here's the thing. Maybe there could be some false positives or whatever, but let's say you go down there and you go to worship the Antichrist and you trigger the thing. And this is not far-fetched at all, because this kind of technology is like this close. And in some ways, it already exists. And here's the thing. Then if you trigger it, it's like, okay, you need to go to secondary. When you trigger it, you're sent to secondary where you get a further interrogation, further testing, and they find out that you're fake, that you're an infiltrator, that you're not for real. And you know what? It's interesting that the Bible says this in regard to end times. You could tie this in. He that seeketh to save his life shall lose it. Now, obviously, that's slightly out of context, but that principle would apply in the scenario that I'm describing. That if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. So look, I'm not going to sit here and disregard what the Bible says just because I don't understand it. Because look, I guarantee you 200 or 300 years ago when someone read Revelation and it said that when the two witnesses are killed and they're laying in the streets of Jerusalem and the whole world is going to see their dead bodies, every kindred, tongue, people and nation in the world will see their dead bodies lying in the street. I bet somebody in the 1700s would have been scratching their head thinking, how are people in Brazil going to see that? How are people in Japan going to see that? How are the Eskimos going to see that? But you know what? Nowadays, we have no problem understanding that scripture, do we? Because we know that the Eskimos and people in the jungle and people in Brazil to Japan, they're all going to be watching it on the internet. They're going to be watching it as a webcam. You know, it's funny. Preachers used to say, well, now we have TV. They can watch it on TV. But folks, this is even more ubiquitous than TV. I mean, cell phones are everywhere. People who don't even have a TV have a cell phone. Okay. And they can watch it everywhere. People in all kindreds, tongues, nations, families, places will all see it. So it's the same thing with stuff like this. Instead of just scoffing at this or not taking it for face value, maybe just understand that there could be some future technology that we don't understand yet that would make it possible for all of this stuff to be fulfilled totally, literally, without exception. You know, let's just have enough faith in what God said that, you know, we may not fully understand how it's all going to play out, but that we have the faith to believe it's going to play out how he said it would play out. Amen? It's going to play out how he said it would play out. And I just painted a very realistic scenario. I'm not saying that I'm right, but I'm throwing out a very realistic scenario for how this could take place. But here's the big takeaway, folks. The big takeaway is, according to Revelation 14, it couldn't be any clearer. If you receive the mark of the beast, you're doomed, you're damned, it's over for you. You can no longer be saved, okay? So unsaved person can still get saved down the road, right? Not if they took the mark of the beast, though. So your unsaved buddy might get saved next year. But once someone takes the mark of the beast, they can't be saved. Once someone adds to or removes from God's word, they cannot be saved. Once a person blasphemes the Holy Ghost, they cannot be saved. Are you just going to ignore all this? Because this is what the Bible says.